Dear Lord, we're thankful to be here together this morning to worship you. Worship you in song and word and scripture, and we're just thankful to be here this morning, Lord. We ask your presence here. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Our scripture reading is Psalm 78. That's Psalm 78, and the verse is going to be 24 through 25. Psalm 78, verses 24 through 25. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "And he opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat, and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full."
There is a place of quiet rest. God does care about us. We can be completely knowing that He knows our trials. He knows our difficulties. He knows our grief. He knows our circumstances. And He's willing and able to get us through them, whatever they might be. Attitude has a great deal to do with getting through the circumstances in life. Sometimes when trials come, how we view them can significantly change the outcome. I can think of times when Lisa and Caroline were younger, 8, 9 years old. I can think of a time where we got out of the car and there was much to carry and make happen over a fairly long uphill distance. And there was a lot of things for me to carry, plus the two younger children were in wheelchairs. So the two options that you have at that point, you can say, I could say to Lisa and Caroline, okay, now I'm going to carry all this stuff, and you push Carla and you push little Will. And the response may well could have been, oh, but it's so far, and it's so long, and we can't do it. But if I said, okay, girls, you go ahead up there, I'll get our stuff, and I'll come back after little Will and Carla. You guys, I'm sure, can't push them all the way up there by yourself. And I'll guarantee you the response was, oh, yes, we can. No problem. And I don't care how far it was or how hard it was. They would sweat and push and pull whatever it took to make it happen, even if they had to put one chair in front of the other and the other two pushed behind one to get them both up there. They would make it happen and get to the top and go, yeah, that was no problem, you know. A lot of it is attitude. And what seemed like just a formidable task, because the attitude was, oh, I think we can make this happen, the task ended up being no less difficult, but surmountable. And I think that's a lot of times how it is with us. The things that are before us, if they seem like to us a great trial, we can't see our way clear. It's too hard. But if we look at the obstacles in our path as, okay, but there's a way over it, around it, under it, there's a way, and God will help me find it. Somehow, no matter how insurmountable it seems, God can assist us and help us to make it happen. The children of Israel, when they get through the Red Sea parting, and God then destroyed Egypt's army in the Red Sea, they soon came upon obstacles in their path. And those obstacles, whether they were the Amalekites attacking the weak and feeble, or whether that was conditions where they didn't know where their water was going to come from, whatever it was, they rarely had the attitude of, God's going to get us through this. He's done it in the past. He's going to help us in the future. The reason when you were little children, you had confidence in one or both of your parents to be able to get you through a difficult situation was because they had done it over and over again. They had been there. Even children who grow up in a difficult situation, still at times, their parents were there. Or maybe a teacher was there, or some other adult. It happens that God's help comes to us in a variety of ways. Sometimes we can't see our way through, but God is calling us to have confidence in Him. There's a verse in 1 Timothy, and it says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be wherewith content. Clark was talking in Sabbath school how Americans are pretty well off compared to the rest of the world. But it's easy for us to always look to the greener pasture. The majority of the time, that greener pasture is just a place where we're resting momentarily until we can see something with our eye or think with our mind that's a little better. We'd be happy if. And I think God is calling us to not let our present circumstances not allow us to be happy now. I'm going to be happy if this happens. If I could only get this job, this car, this house, if I could only have this not happen anymore, or whatever it might be, I would be happy. It mentioned in the lesson the popularity of the show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it was unbelievably popular. Everybody wants to be a millionaire, I guess. Contentment is not something that just comes natural to us. God is calling us to be contented with our situation because He can give us contentment. Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. I'm not sure why, but my hands aren't working quite as quickly as... Must be have something to do with the temperature, maybe. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When the Israelites camped at Sinai, Mount Sinai, and God gave them the law, God gave them directions to build a sanctuary in the wilderness, they ended up staying there for a year. And it says in Patriarchs and Prophets that there were granite walls on each side of the little valley they were in, and God took care of them. God took care of their livestock. I'm kind of assuming that their livestock must have eaten manna too, as near as I can tell. Because in the wilderness of sin, where they were, there isn't and there wasn't, there was precious little vegetation. So God provided in some way for their livestock, and they had vast herds and flocks of livestock. Goats, sheep, cattle, camels. They left Egypt with a vast amount of livestock. Now, I always come into, say, the 1st of November, and I take stock of, okay, how many bales of hay do I have? How many round bales do I have? How many feet of haylage is in the silo? How many feet of silage and corn in the other silo? What do I have? And I calculate in my mind, how much am I going to need? Where am I with this? And, you know, Lord willing, hopefully I've made a lot of extra each time. Because I've come down to the last, absolute last before in the spring, so it always feels good to have extra. But these people were in the wilderness with these vast flocks and a lot of people with no resources other than the God they served. In that time when they got to Sinai and they were getting manna every day, they became content. And it actually says when God finally did have the cloud begin to move towards Kadesh, they were about, where they were at Sinai was about 11 days journey from Kadesh for that big group. That big group didn't move very fast. A lot of people, a lot of animals, about 11 days journey. And it actually says that when the cloud began to move and God had told them to prepare to move, there were a lot of people who were reluctant to go. They'd become settled in and happy where they were, even though they're in the middle of the wilderness with no resources other than God providing. They were kind of reluctant to go. After 3 days' journey, so they're, you know, more than a quarter of the way to where they're going. Now remember, keep in mind, these people are going from a desert, mountainous, rocky, not a very pleasant area, and they're on their way to Canaan, the promised land. Significantly better than what they'd been experiencing. After 3 days' journey, they began to complain. I'd like to read you something. God would have his people in the last days review with a humble heart and teachable spirit the trials through which ancient Israel passed, that they may be instructed in their preparation for the heavenly Canaan. I'm going to listen to those bells for a minute. They come from our church. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. I know Zach worked on that. Maybe some others that I don't know about. It's wonderful. So God wants us to look at their journey in the wilderness and decide what kind of preparation we're supposed to make for the heavenly Canaan. When brought into strait places, the Israelites murmured at the process by which God chose to purify them. Though their present needs are supplied, many are unwilling to trust God for the future, and they're in constant anxiety lest poverty would come on them. So they were always worried about not something that had happened, but they thought might happen. So they're 3 days into this journey, and they began to complain. And who began to complain was the mixed multitude. The Egyptians that had decided to go with the Israelites and begun to marry in with the Israelites, and they're the ones who complained, "We were sick of this manna. We're sick of it." And God heard their complaints, and fire went out from the cloud. 3,000 people, the biggest complainers, might I add, were destroyed until Moses, the people came to Moses and said, "Moses, pray to God, sacrifice to him, stop it." And he did. 3,000 people they had to bury, though. They complained because they wanted flesh to eat. They wanted something different than what God was giving them. Angel food. In reality, God had given them this to eat so that they could better prepare for the heavenly Canaan. There was not one. It said when they left Egypt, there was 600,000 men. Well, I don't know how many the rest would be, but let's say, you know, most men had a wife, that's 1.2 million, couple of children. You know, we're talking 2 to 4 million people, I don't know, a lot of people. And it says at that point, after they'd been having manna from God, there were no feeble among them. No feeble. God was blessing them. Yet they wanted to go back to the diet in Egypt, to the things they desired in Egypt. They were complaining against God. They couldn't stand the trial. God wants us to prepare in whatever ways that he wanted the Israelites to prepare. He wants us to prepare. Our minds and hearts are not, we're not to be complaining and always worried about something that we don't have yet, or a trial that maybe even hasn't, we haven't even encountered yet. We have anxiety over stuff that hasn't even happened yet. God wants us to trust him. "Call on me and I will answer and show thee great and mighty things." He's calling on us to believe that and trust him. Numbers 11, 1 to 6. Let's turn to Numbers 11, 1 to 6. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the group. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched." And he called on the name of the place Teriba, I think it is, because the Lord burnt, fire of the Lord burnt among them. God doesn't want to have to show us vast displays of his power and displeasure because we've complained about the situation we're in. We're on our way to Canaan. We may not like everything that happens to us. There's going to be a purifying process. In fact, it says, when the children of Israel received the manna, they were daily taught that having God's promise, they were as secure from want as if surrounded by fields of waving grain in the fertile plains of Canaan. We want to have in our minds that we're part of the end time people, that God has especially taken care of us, that he's especially led us. He sent a prophet. And it says actually in Moses' time that he told the commandments to the, God spoke the commandments to the people. But then he took Moses into the cloud and shared with him a lot more information because of the people's ignorance. And Moses then came out and communicated it to the people. And I think that's basically what he did with the beginning of our church. The Sabbath and things became obvious, and some people began to want to be part of that Sabbath movement. But then he communicated some more things to be able to help us to see how to prepare to enter Canaan. And our response is, it's too far and it's too hard, it's uphill. Can't handle it. When they got to the borders of Canaan, now they're close. They're really close. And we think that we're close. By what the state of the world and various things, it appears we're at Canaan's doorstep. They sent the 12 spies in. And it actually says in Patriarchs and Prophets that had the spies come back and 2 had given a bad report and 10 a good report, the people still would have gone the way they went and believed the 2 and discounted the 10. So it didn't matter that it was 10 to 2. It could have been 2 to 10. They still were of the negative mindset. Oh, there's no way we can overcome this. I don't want us to find ourselves at Canaan's doorstep and doubting that God can lead us in there, that he can overcome. What are the giants in the land that he's calling us to overcome? They looked at the obstacles. They looked at the walled cities, the giants of Anak, the fierce warriors and armies that the people of Canaan had, and said, there's no way we can't overcome this. The giants that God is calling us to overcome are the things that in our lives that take precedence over him. The sins that we harbor, the things we don't want to give up, the desires we have that don't include God. Those are the giants and the obstacles that we have. And God is calling us and saying, what, these are obstacles to me? Did you not see that I swallowed Pharaoh's army in a moment? That I brought water out of a rock? That I provided food for you and your livestock for 40 years? Have you not? I mean, I led you all this way. I led you all this way. But no, he can't. those cities, those walls are too high. People are too fierce. Men are too big. Lord, I have this addiction and you can't help me overcome it. I know it's useless. I know that I have these things that I want to do here and enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what, Lord, hold things off. Give me some time to think. Give me some time to work these things out. God, in his mercy, has given us time to work the things in our life out. Now he's telling us, look what I did for you in the past, and look what I've promised to do for you in the future. Yes, the giants are many, and the obstacles are many. But have the attitude that you have someone you can trust. That when you call on me, I will answer and show you great and mighty things. If the journey through the wilderness is what we're supposed to look at to be able to see how the journey can be accomplished to enter the heavenly Canaan, when they finally did enter the heavenly Canaan and went across the Jordan miraculously, because they stepped their feet in the water and believed it was going to happen. God's calling us to step our feet in the water and ask him what needs to be changed about our life. What can he do to help us? It's pretty tough to look at your life and say, oh boy, I guess I need to change that before I can come to the Lord. No, I guess you won't have too much success with that. I just had a birthday. And regardless of how old I get, it doesn't make me more capable. Not one tiny inch more capable spiritually. What it makes me is more dependent on Christ for the help that I need. I know that he needs to bring me into the heavenly Canaan. That I can't go attack the walled cities and the giants. It's not about me. It's not about my ability or capability. I can make the effort to walk across the Jordan, but I'm probably not going to defeat the Canaanites or the obstacles in my way. What I am going to do is look where God has led me in the past and figure that he's going to do it in the future. That's what God's calling us to do.
Father in heaven, thank you for meeting with us here today. And Jesus, as we go from here, we ask this, that the spirit of your presence would be with us, living inside of our hearts, Lord, giving us the still small voice to turn to the right or to the left, that you would make our path straight, and that we would know you more fully and more richly by your power in us, Jesus, I pray. In your holy name, amen.